That Quail Robert by Margaret A. Stanger, Hodder and Stoughton, 1966. Chapter 14, An Anxious Week. Lord, as I read this chapter tonight, I'm thinking of the snow that I saw falling on the family members that are up north and around the world. I thank you, Lord, that they get to enjoy the beauty of that, even out west. And Lord, as we look forward to the spring, I thank you that here we are already seeing the flowers and the green and the trees all in leaf. Thank you, Lord, for your refreshing times of year. And let us rejoice in all that you do in the work of our lives, whether it's things that are hard or things that are fun. In Jesus' name, amen. The first 2.5 years of Robert's life had been blessed with good health. To be sure, she had had her share of small accidents, which caused her a day or two of discomfort, but she had not been seriously ill. She had even had minor surgery, which had not bothered her at all, when a small spur-like growth appeared at the corner of her beak, which seemed to be very annoying. She worked at it herself, scratching it hard. After examining it closely, Tommy decided it had to better be removed. He felt sure it could be done without any anesthetic, and he was right. Mildred held her in her hands, rubbing the side of her face and head with one thumb. Robert's head drooped over Mildred's fingers. Her eyes were closed, and she was certainly relaxed. Tommy laid the edge of the scissors against the spur, and it did not disturb her at all. Then he quickly snipped it off, and she seemed not to have felt it. She was greatly relieved, and the scratching stopped. None of those little upsets had been serious. But on the 1st of April, 1965, she was sick. Very sick. The first day we were aware that she was not herself, she was very quiet, not active at all, and ate very little. It was too early in the season for molting to start, but of course we considered the possibility of the beginning of another ovulation. The next day, Mildred watched her as she rather hesitantly approached her seed tray. Much alarmed, Mildred called Tommy. Tommy, I don't think she can see. They picked her up. Taking her into a good light, realized that this was indeed true. Her eyes did not look right. All that morning she had been shaking her head frequently, often uttering a little cry as she did so. Both eyes were filled with a clear gelatinous fluid, which formed rapidly and accounted for the constant shaking. In fact, the next time she shook, they could see the tiny droplets fly. She could not even see a good-sized piece of lettuce held before her. I saw her that night, and it was heartbreaking. She knew her way around the house, and she was on the floor when I entered the room, but there was no rushing to me with cries of greeting. She did come toward me when she heard my voice, but it was all too evident that something was very wrong. I watched her go to the hearth by the fireplace, where a glass of water was always kept for her. She walked up to it, going very slowly, and found the glass. On the first attempt to get a drink, her beak hit the near edge of the glass. She tried again with no luck. Finally, she walked slowly along beside the glass till it was against her wing. Then, turning her head at an angle, she seemed to see a little from the side of her eye, and in that awkward position managed to quench her thirst. I left for home. I could not endure watching her. My eyes filled too, but with tears. I am just no good where a sick animal is concerned. I can pitch in and do anything necessary for a sick person, but I know what I am doing. And what is more important, the person knows too. But a sick or suffering animal is so helpless, and I am so frustrated by my own helplessness that my cowardly inclination is to get as far away from it as I can. I am rather ashamed of this weakness, but that is the way it is. The disgraceful truth is that I did not see Robert again for 6 days. It was all I could do to telephone. I was so fearful of what the news might be. I knew that Tommy was worried about her, though he was a pillar of strength. At one time, he voiced the fear that it might be the delayed result of one of the times she hit the top of her head so hard. He hoped that it had not caused a blood clot, or something of the sort, back of the optic nerve. There was certainly no comfort in that idea. I telephoned my friend, Fran Leach, who is a wizard with sick canaries and other birds, but she could tell me nothing except to say that she would try to see if she could find anything about eyes in general. She did have a suggestion, and when the Kinsels went to see her, she strongly urged that they give her vitamins. They had already thought of that and had emptied the little capsule which contained multivitamins and had tried to give Robert some, but she objected with what strength she had. Mildred tasted the powder and said it was horrible. but Fran had a special vitamin in powder form, which she gives birds, tiny monkeys, and other animals in the spring. To a person, this was much more palatable, having a distinctly nutty flavor. The powder adhered to freshly cooked grains of wild rice, and in this way, they were able to get it into her. Feeding her was a major problem. A bird eats a great deal in comparison with its body weight, and they knew they had to keep her strength up. She could not manage her wild bird seed because she was always selective and only ate certain of the seeds. Mildred tried filling a tiny glass with the seeds and getting her beak into it, but this meant that she came up with a mouthful, which was not the way a bird eats. She opened her mouth trying to get rid of it, and that did not work. She had always had her wild rice from the palm of someone's hand, and had often had it after she was in her bed and after the light was out. I doubt if any half hour went by during those days without Mildred's getting a few grains into her. This was a lifesaver in the truest sense of the term. It also ensured her getting the vitamins every day in addition to the nourishment. News of the little bird's illness spread fast. As is usual in cases of illness, friends hesitated to telephone the Keensels, with the result that my telephone rang very frequently. The innate kindness of people is heartening. Walter Pierce, who had built the patio for me when Robert was with me those 3 months, and who with his wife had moved into my house to take care of her when I had to be in New York for a week, called one evening to inquire about her. I had to say that there was not much that I could tell them in way of encouragement, and I thanked him for calling. To that he replied, "Well, we got to know Robert pretty well, and when you know her," his voice choked up. And so it went, long day after long day. Tommy was able to obtain some special eye drops, which were put in 2 or 3 times a day. This remains the only thing done to her, or for her, to which she objected. How she hated those eye drops. Perhaps they smarted, though Tommy did not think so. He did think that sunshine would be good for her, but the weather did not cooperate. We had the rainy and windy days, which April so often brings, and outdoor exposure for Robert was out of the question. About the fourth day, the sun did come out. Mildred carried Robert out to a sheltered part of the patio and, shielding her with her coat, let the sun shine on her back for a few minutes. The next day was even better, and Robert was put down in a sunny spot. Surprisingly, she took a dirt bath, a rather feeble one, but a dirt bath. It must have felt good to her, for she lay on her side again against a little mound of dirt for several minutes. The bath did not help the top of her head, which needed cleaning badly. The topknot feathers were stiff and crusty from the droplets that had landed there when she shook them from her eyes. Washing it with water was out of the question, but petroleum jelly rubbed in helped temporarily. We knew some food was getting through her, but we also knew she was getting far from enough to maintain her very long. On the seventh morning, she lay quietly, perhaps resignedly, in Mildred's hand. But when the eye drops were put in, she put up an amazingly strong objection, wriggled out of the hands, down onto the floor, and made a beeline for the feeding tray. Scarcely believing their own eyes, Mildred and Tommy watched as she selected her favorite seeds and heard her uttering her little contented chirps. She could see. Then she headed for the living room to a pan of growing chickweed, which two of her admirers had found under a sheltered branch in their garden, but which till this time she had not been able to eat. She had tried swallowing at random whatever she found, tiny twigs, bits of leaves, and occasionally a bit of the green. Now she hopped up in the pan, and how she ate. Mildred called me immediately, and the world brightened. For several days, a slight amount of the fluid came in her eyes, but the drops were diminished to once a day, to Robert's relief. For several days, she tired easily, asked to be put to bed very early, and spent a lot of time on the kitchen counter under her lamp, sleeping on her side. What had been the trouble? Cold? A virus infection? Bird pneumonia? Well, who knows? What had cured her? The eye drops, sunshine, vitamins, prayers? Who knows? What did it matter? She was well once more. We often hear it said that a bird eats its own weight in food every day. For the few days after the return of her sight, Robert must have done just that. It often takes an illness to make us appreciate health. A very considerate veterinarian once told a friend whose dog was sick that she must remember that animals do not worry, that they have no fear as to what may be ahead when they are sick, and that they just take each day as it comes. This is doubtless true of birds as well as animals, and it is a comforting thought. Apparently, human beings are the only creatures cursed with the ability to worry, and we certainly worried. By the time, no, by the same token, maybe we're the only ones blessed with the capacity for appreciation. And we, all of us who were so deeply concerned, appreciated Robert's return to health and happiness. Well, the author's right. We are the only ones who have the capacity to think and reason like that, because we're made in God's image. So I love you guys. Have a great day wherever you are.